Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Blind, but now I see. I see the love. I see the love he has for me. Glory to God. We are so excited to be here today because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we are rejoicing. We are rejoicing. We're not going to rejoice. We are rejoicing because he has granted us one more opportunity to be in the land of the living. As I always say, there's many that were here last night, even this morning, and they cross over. They're no longer here, but we're still here in the land of the living to declare the works of the Lord. The Lord's works are good, and they're full of mercy and grace. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come before your people to send forth a word to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, a word that will do exactly what you said it to do. It will not return void. Oh, my Father, my Savior, and my soon coming King, I thank you and praise you, O God, for those few that are on the line this morning, even those that are listening by satellite radios or computers. We ask, Father God, that you stretch out your hand of love, mercy, and grace upon them. Lord, protect them against every satanic, demonic, every sorcerer, every warlock, and every witch that was conjure some type of lotion or potion or herbs or fire to distract them or destroy them or even delay them. We pray for complete protection against every virus, every sickness, every infirmity today, Lord, that you heal us and that you keep us safe as the apple of your eye this morning. Lord, speak to my heart. Touch my eyes and my ears and my lips of clay. And Father, if I speak a word that did not come from you through these 66 books or by your spirit, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. My only objective, my Lord and my Savior, is to glorify your name, to edify your body, and to terrify the devil. In Jesus' holy name. This morning we are talking about a change. The Holy Spirit changed the subject a little bit this morning. We had it one way last night, but he changed it this morning, cut it down a little bit. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit protects us against all deceptive agents. All deceptive agents. Not some, but all. Whoever trying to deceive us, trying to conjure something against us, trying to do us harm, he protects us. Things that we can't see, things we can't hear, protects us from. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He is our helper. He is our keeper. He is our defender. He is the one that supplies our needs. Hallelujah. He makes things possible that are impossible for us. He does this for us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So we can walk with surety, trusting in God, depending on God, and relying on God to bring us through safely in whatever we are faced in. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's start there first. I didn't put a scripture on the computer, but let's start there. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16. And this is what God says to Moses to say to the children of Israel. And you can study this whole chapter because it's a beautiful chapter, God speaking to his people and giving them assignments and giving them instruction and statutes and laws and how to follow him and how to obey and what will happen when they obey. So here in verse 16, Moses says to the children, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. I'm talking about deception this morning. He said, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Hallelujah. He said, verse 17 said, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth thee. Now the Lord gave Moses a word that is so prophetic. This word is not just for 2,000 years or 7,000 years ago. This word is for now. This is a now word. God is saying, don't allow your heart to be deceived. Now we look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and 9. I think it is there. I just heard that. That's not on my paper, I don't think. Hallelujah. I don't have that written down. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. I don't have that written down. But I just heard that. So let's go and look and see. Because he started out here talking about the heart of the people. So we know that deception begins in the heart. When we allow our mind to waver and move from God, we become a candidate to be deceived. And here the prophet Jeremiah says in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? No man can know the heart of another man. And no, we can say, well, this girl loved me so much. I know she loved me. I could tell. This guy loved me so much. Oh, he loves me. The same guy that you're saying love you, the same guy that take your life. The same girl that you're saying love you, the same girl that poison you, that throw hot water in your face, hot grits on you. Hallelujah. No one can know the heart for real, for surety. People say, well, I've been loving her. I've been in love with him from grammar school, from primary school. And they get married. And they say, well, they've been in love for so long, they're going to live a happy life till their death does those part. Well, it end up that the marriage don't last for 18 months, you know, but because we don't know the heart. God told us that. He said, who can know it? But we know someone that knows the heart. That's the Holy Spirit. This is why he said in 1 John 4 and 4, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he is that's in the world. So the Holy Spirit is inside of us to protect us against all deceptive agents. Deceptive agents are the ones that Satan sent out to deceive us, to delay us, and even if it is possible, destroy us. They come to deceive us with all the tricks, the gifts, and all this stuff. They will give you this and give you that, and you will fall in love with them. Hallelujah. They'll buy you flowers when you're not looking for flowers. You say, well, he got to love me. She got to love me. Love, she bring me candy. She bring me chocolate. She bring me flowers. I wasn't even expecting this. But the Holy Spirit said, don't let those flowers take your heart. Don't let that candy take your heart. Listen to my voice. But a lot of times we as humankind or flesh and blood, we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to the sons and daughters of the Most High. He's always speaking to the sons of Yahweh. He's always speaking to us, to the daughters of Yeshua. Why? Because he is sent to protect us. Jesus told the disciples, he said, it's expedient that I leave you, but when I leave, I will not leave you comfortless. Because he know that you're going to operate in the flesh. You're not going to be able to hear or see the things that are deceptive with your fleshly eyes. So what he does is he sends the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible says, he said in the book of John, he says he will bring all things to your remembrance, everything that he have told us. So now we have to go back in the book and look and see what God has, Jesus himself has told us that we must watch for. He told us in Luke 21 and 36, he says to watch in prayer, lest you fall into temptation. You have to watch in prayer. And one of the things that he wants us to watch is our own self. Watch our hearts. Watch our motives. Watch other people's motives. But the first thing we have to do is watch our own motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? What are we doing what we're doing? A lot of people, last night he gave me what he said. He told me to talk to me about preachers last night and some congregational members and some worshipers. He began to talk to me about that, how a lot of people are not doing what they're doing in the house of the Lord. Here in the book of John 14, John 15, he says, speaking to the disciples, he is getting ready to leave this earth. He is getting ready to be crucified before he goes to the cross. And he's giving them instructions that are also for us. He said to them, remember the word that I said unto you, verse 20, and in John chapter 15. This is, I don't have this on my sheet for teaching today. But he says here in John chapter 15, glory to God. He said, remember the words that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than the Lord, his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So you wonder why when you are preaching and teaching the truth and not compromising the word like some of the teachers and preachers out there today that are watering down the word to make you feel happy, they're not concerned about your soul, so they don't tell you the truth. They let you go on and fornicate, commit adultery, lie, steal, cheat, cuss, and get drunk, and wouldn't tell you that if you continue living that lifestyle, that you would end up in hell, because no sinner can enter into heaven. No sinner will go back with Christ. Only those that are washed in the blood, those that live the life that glorify him, is the only one going to go back with him. But they wouldn't tell you that because they want you to keep giving them tithes and offerings and keep buying the pastor and the bishop and the apostle all of those fancy suits and all those robes. I mean, is nothing wrong with giving your pastor, if you got a good pastor that loves the sheep, is nothing wrong with giving him, buying him a robe or buying a t-shirt or a tie set? You know, is nothing wrong with doing that or even blessing the pastor with a nice robe? But when you have leaders that are contrary to God's word, don't sow seed in them. And Jesus said you have to look for the ground. Make sure the ground is good ground where you're sowing. Jesus said to them, he says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now, see, the works that Jesus did exposed their sin. And not only exposed their sin, but it caused them to hate him and hate the Father. You know, when you speak against sin, most folk are not going to come to your church. They're not going to come to the building because they know the church, the building is not the church. The people are the out of church. But most people are not going to come to the building. They're not going to come to fellowship with their brothers and sisters, which formulate the church. They're not going to come because it says, every time I go to the church, the pastor's preaching against sin. Why? Because he's preaching about that thing that's holding them captive to it. You understand? So he says, but this coming to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with him, me. From the beginning. See, Jesus tell the disciples that they're going to testify, because all that's going to happen, he has already told them about. He told them down in verse chapter 16. Now, I just read verse 24, 25, 26, and 27 of chapter 15. And chapter 16 of John, he told them, now let's jump down at verse 7. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come," which is the Holy Ghost that we're talking about this morning. "The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, or of judgment because the prince of the world, Satan, is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." See, Jesus said, "I got many things. I have many things to tell you right now." While he is alive with them, he said, "I got many things to say to you right now, but you're not ready." See, they're still young. He's still training them. He's giving them all as much as he can give them that the Father has released him to release. And he said, "Howbeit, when he," talking about the Comforter, "the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." See, the Holy Spirit is our protector. He's not going to allow us to walk around ignorant. Hallelujah. He's going to continually show us, lead us, and guide us so that we can be victorious in this sinful world. What the main thing that we have to do is that we have to be listening. We have to be listening and following the instructions of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times I told you all that. From time to time I tell the story that I was living in Virginia, Washington metropolitan area, and I was leaving home. I was going somewhere. I had my work truck. I had a Ram 1500 truck. And I said, that's not important, though. But I said, I'm going to go this way. I was going to go up Walter Reed Hill. And the Holy Spirit says, don't go that way. That was a short way. He says, go the other way. Go around and come up, go up Columbia Pike, which was the longer way. I didn't want to go the longer way. Well, I went the shorter way, and I got in an accident that the fire department and the ambulance had to come. They had to come and cut me out the truck. But even in that situation, when I disobeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, I mean, I wasn't saved and sanctified and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I was just running wild. But, you know, the Bible says that he calls the simple or the foolish. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the wise and the weak things to confound the mighty. So I was foolish. Didn't have no understanding of the Holy Ghost. And even then, at that particular time, he was protecting me. And he reminded me, I told you not to go that way. He reminded me. They took me to the hospital and checked me out, took x-rays to see if I had broken bones in my chest and my ribs and all that kind of stuff. Well, nothing was broken. I had one mark in the center of my forehead. I still got the mark there that could show where I hit the steering wheel in my head. But pay attention to what the Holy Spirit, he's always speaking. Now let's go to Acts. This is what I want to give you one a little bit. You all are familiar with this scripture. Okay, you're familiar with this scripture. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Let's work that scripture here for us, and then we'll go some other place. We are going to do a part two of this because I have so many scriptures, Lord. Holy Spirit, give me yesterday. Thank you, Brother Deacon. He gave us so many scriptures. But we want to bring this thing because we're talking about deception. This is the whole thing. But the Holy Spirit protects us. He protects us against all deceptive agents. You know, deception don't move by itself. It needs something to carry it. It needs a person, an individual to carry it. So sometimes it's a spirit, the spirit that's moving by itself, moving over there, and gets into a person. And when it gets into the person brings it. And then they come to you smiling your face. Deacon Fraser always says they're smiling your face all the time. They want to take your place. They're backstabbers. You understand? They smile with you, they eat with you, they drink with you, come at your house and sleep overnight. And then they get up and go and tell people all type of stuff that didn't even happen in your house. But the Holy Spirit protect us, and he protects us against that so that they don't even have the opportunity to come and sleep in your house. You understand? Because you see what the intention is. You see the intention because the Holy Spirit shows us, allows us to see. But here in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it said, but a certain man named Ananias, and with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled you, deception, see, filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? No. The Holy Spirit has allowed Peter to see this and hear this. Peter was not at the deal, at the land deal. None of the apostles was there with Ananias and his wife to see what that they were selling the land that they had. But the Holy Spirit showed them, no, he comes in there, and he was supposed to give a tenth of the earnings from the proceeds, you know, the profit. So, but he come in there, and now they come in there and want to give so much. Never, the Bible never tells you how much they give. If they give 5%, but we know that they didn't give at least 10% because Peter saw that something was wrong. The Holy Spirit showed it. And he asked him, why has Satan filled your heart? Remember, we read the scripture over here in Jeremiah that says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Remember that. But Peter got the answer from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show us things. Sometimes he shows us in dreams. Sometimes we just hear the thought in our mind. This is going on. I remember when I was in Africa and I was going, they was taking me out to Sudan. I remember this, my second trip. And the Holy Spirit says, don't go to Sudan. If you go to Sudan, you're not going to make it back alive. Oh, and fear came over me. My body was trembling. Well, I mean, was scared. You know, the flesh was, my heart was strong. My spirit man was strong. My flesh was trembling. I can imagine these people that I'm giving money to. I'm doing things for. And all this stuff, and helping their church and helping the orphans, want to take my soul because they want to make a sacrifice, made me a sacrifice so that they can get demonic power. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit warned me, and I saw it clear. They said, well, Apostle, why you get so upset? I said, no, I'm not going to Sudan. Why would I go to Sudan when I know Sudan is 90% or 98% Muslim? They don't care for Christians. But you want me to go to Sudan. But they would take me another part of Sudan where they do rituals, satanic rituals, sacrifice babies and animals and all type of stuff to demonic power so they can have power. But here, Peter saying this thing. And then that's why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You're not lying to the apostles. You're lying to the Spirit of God, the Spirit that's within the men of God. And keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. He said, while it remained with, was it not your own? He asked him a question. And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Then you had control over the money that you can do what you choose to. Why do you have to come and lie to the Holy Spirit? That's what he's saying. He said, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. We realized, I remember when I shared when I was out in the world, I was running with all these wild women and smoking all that cocaine and stuff and acting a fool. I always thought that I was doing, misusing, abusing my wife spiritually, not physical, but spiritual, you know. I was doing stuff that was hurting her because I was never home. But one day I was reading Psalm 51. And the Lord showed me that it wasn't against my wife, but it was against him. I wouldn't even save. I wouldn't even sanctify. I wasn't even interested in following the Lord for that matter. And when the Lord showed me that it was him that I was sinning against, I repent. And I asked God to strengthen me in those areas of my life. that I wouldn't have to get high and I wouldn't have to run here and run there with this woman and that woman. But I would serve him with purity. And my life started to change. You have to make a commitment. Each day you have to make a commitment. It's not a one-time thing. People say, well, I repent today and it's all right. No, the devil's still coming back today. He's coming back later in the day. He's coming back tomorrow. He's coming back in the morning. He's coming back in the afternoon and nighttime. The devil don't drink coffee, don't stop for lunch, and don't care what time dinner is. Anytime he catch you not focused on the things of God, on righteousness, on holiness, he's going to put a thought in your mind to make you do something that normally you wouldn't do. And after you finish doing it, you're going to all be messed up in your mind, saying, I don't know why I did that. Because why? You're not listening to the Holy Ghost. Then Ananias, hearing these words from Peter the Apostle, fell down and breathed his last. He gave up the ghost. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Verse 6 says, and the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7, now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, not knowing that her husband was dead and they buried him. That's what happened. She didn't know that. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. In other words, Peter was asking her, tell me if you sold the land for what your husband said you all sold it for. And she said, yes, we sold it for that much. We sold it for that much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Holy, Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. She gave up the life source that's in her, left her. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. Two liars, side to side, two deceivers, buried them side to side. So great fear came upon the church and upon all who heard these things. The narrative of Ananias and Sapphira provides a dramatic illustration of the fact that God will not accept duplicity in his church. Partial commitment to the truth is not enough. In the case of this ancient couple, he judged the secrets of men by Christ Jesus without delay, stopping the lie literally dead in its tracks. Although unstated in the account, Ananias and Sapphira lightly coveted the status and reputation they would receive if God's people came to believe they were big contributors. A lot of people sometimes only want to give to the house of the Lord or to the church or to the pastor or the bishop because they want to be seen by others. They want to be able to tell that they have done this and done that. They're not doing it because they are interested in doing the work or helping the work of the Lord. They're looking for accolades. They're looking for accolades. I always say that when I wake up, I don't need accolades from nobody. If the Holy Spirit choose to come by and wake me up, I am so excited that he gave me another opportunity. And that's all the accolades that I need. We don't do things, we don't come on Blog Talk Radio just to get accolades. We come because the Lord has instructed us to put a word in the atmosphere. Somebody is always waiting. Others may not want it. They say, well, that's not like Bishop so-and-so. That's not like Apostle so-and-so. He don't preach to this body, that body. Well, that's not what I'm concerned about. I'm not trying to preach like sister this body or brother that body. I'm trying to do exactly what God wants me to do, so that the word can get out in the atmosphere. And somebody that is hungry and thirsty for righteousness, like the book of Matthew says, would receive it. They want to be known as big contributors. With Satan's prodding in verse 3, they, Sapphira, is fully complicit. Verse 2, has the deceitful plan to sell some property and donate part of the proceeds for the use of the brethren. In reality, they conspired to mislead the church leadership and ultimately the brethren at large into thinking that their generous tariff sale price of the land, when in fact they had surreptitiously kept back a portion of the proceeds for their personal use. Their level of sacrifice for the needs of the church was not what they led others to believe. So many people will make you think that they're doing so much, but really, they're not doing enough. They're not doing exactly what God said to do. We'll do, God said, give $50, we give 10. God said, give $100, we give 20. You understand what I'm saying? We hold God's hands tight because we don't want to. You don't want to give to the church. Because one thing, we have the mindset that if we give to the church, that the pastor going to buy a big Cadillac or a Rolls Royce or Bentley or something and not serve the congregation that he's supposed to serve or she's supposed to serve. They're not going to give to the orphans, to the widows, and to the fatherless and motherless. Well, if they don't, what happened is, it's not up to you to worry about that. That's up to God. God is going to deal with that. When I have a young lady in Louisiana that never asked her to send anything. And she heard me talking. We do ministry in Africa, three places in Africa, one place in India, four different countries. And we help the orphans and the widows and so on. And those that can't get food, we help them to buy food. We place food on the tables, not boasting or bragging or anything. That's what God called us to do. Well, this lady heard that. She said, "Oh, apostle, I'm gonna send you $50 or something like that." Man, before I could turn the page in the Bible, my computer light up. So and so sent $50. Then she's hearing the message, hearing me preaching. And next thing I look around, she said, No, the Lord just told me I got to send another $60. I said, Wow. Well, I put it in the bank. And I says, don't care what happened. We can't move that money from there because that's not my money. That money belongs to the church. That money belongs to God's people that are hungry and need food. And when I get a certain amount, I say, well, okay, I'm going to send $300 to India, $400 to this part of Africa, $500 to that part of Africa, $300 to that part. And that's what we do. Why? Because that's what God said to do. And this particular woman, I can tell you the truth, that God is blessing her. Every time I look around, she called me up and said, Apostle, you don't know what God did for me. You don't know what God just in the storm there, in the hurricane. She and her daughter was leaving home, going to another part of the country, Alabama somewhere, from New Orleans. And she was on the highway and all the flood water, going through the flood water. And this young man came down the highway that she was on. I mean, driving her so fast. And his car, young man, started, you know how the young people do, 20, 25 years old, hydroplane. And he lost control of the car and come from all the way over the right lane, over to the left lane, and knock her car aside. Hit her bumper, and her car went into a tailspin. Right up to the, that's all that she tells me. She said, Apostle, you don't know how good God is to me. I said, I know he's good. And the car went upon the bank and going to hit onto trees, all these trees along the highway, and God turned the car away from the trees. And then the guy come out again and hit her again. And the car going down to the ditch to spin over. Hallelujah. And when the car did stop, the people come, some people coming and get her and her daughter out the car. She didn't have a scratch. No brokenness. And when they look at the car, thought the car was demolished all around the side, all around the car. The car had one small dent on the bumper where the car, boy hit the car. What do you think of that? Because she's taking care of God's people. And if you, the Bible says, if you give to the poor, you'll lend to the Lord. Listen what he said. Listen what he says. Oh, my God, my God. Jesus, sir. Yes. Had God not intervened to abort their plan, they would have lived lives of hypocrisy for who knows how long daily practicing the lie. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22 and 15. Revelation chapter 22 and 14. We're talking about the Holy Spirit protects against all deceptive agents. Revelation 22 and 15. All the way to the back of the book. For the Jewish people, this was called the right of the book, the beginning of the book. But this is for us, it's the ending of the book. Revelation 22 and 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. They are not going to get in. This is talking about the kingdom. They're not going to be able to enter into the kingdom if we live a whoremonger lifestyle, a sorcerer, a murderer, idolaters, lying. You're not going to make it in. And folk are going to the house of the Lord professing to be this and that. Revelation 22 and 15, that they had given all. They said they have given all. They lied. But Revelation 22 and 15, that they had given all to God. Without question, they would have lived the same sort of burdensome lives endured by Joseph Brothers for decades after their clandestine treachery towards their younger brother. In Genesis 37, verse 23 to 36. Genesis 27, verse 23 to 36. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. You know, his father had made him this beautiful coat. I remember when I was a young man, my mother had got one of those coats, like Joseph's coat. It had all these different colors. It was a patch coat with a lot of different colors, orange and yellow and blue and green and black and white, and all these colors. And I was the talk of the town because everybody wanted to know where my mama got that coat from. But she had got it from some thrift store or something. She couldn't afford to buy that if you're going to the store. But it was an old coat, but it still looked good. And Joseph Brothers was envied him. He was the envy of his brothers because of that coat and because of his dreams. So they stripped him of his coat of many colors that was on him. Listen to this. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, carry it down to Egypt. And Joseph said unto his brethren, And Judah, one of his younger brothers, says, he said to the brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother or conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Now imagine just even throwing him in the pit, that God, the Spirit, was protecting Joseph even when he was thrown into the pit. Because remember, the pit had no water. And when Joseph came out the pit, you didn't hear them say that Joseph had a broken leg, broken arm. He cracked his skull and nothing. God was protecting him while he was falling into that pit. God cushioned him. This is what God would do. Sometimes you don't know you go through accidents and all types of situations. You may be walking down the street and somebody lurking in the dark want to hurt you. But when you get to that point, you may be even driving. And folks say, well, they're going to wait at a certain street because they know you're going to come by with your little car or your big car, your SUV or whatever, and they're going to shoot you up, shoot up your car. But when you get to that spot, they can't even squeeze the trigger because God, the Holy Spirit, is controlling. He takes over and don't allow them to be able. I remember back in Virginia, back in Washington, D.C., off of New York Avenue, I went to get some cocaine for this girl, Kim. I remember just like yesterday, her father died. I smoked too much cocaine. We used to smoke every night. And I tell God was protecting me all the time. His father died from cocaine. I went and looking, see him in the casket. I tell you, God said, look, you could have been in that casket. I seen him. But when we went to New York Avenue to get that cocaine, she was waiting her. She had one of them 4x4 pickup trucks, Nissan. And when I go to get the coke, the guy was trying to sell me some wax. You know, the sell the wax looked just like coke. And when I turn away, I said, I'm not going to give you the money for this because this is not for me. And I knew what it was. I said, this be for a girl, and this is her money. If I don't carry back cocaine to her, she's going to think I took her money. So guess what happened? This shot at me 5 times, close range, with a 9mm. I wouldn't even save. I mean, I was brought up in church, but I wouldn't save. I was going to church because my mama wanted me to go to church, but I wouldn't save. And I tell you, that young man pulled that gun. I hear that gun say, click, clicks. And he shot at me 5 times. I was running away from him. And I could hear the gun going off. And the people said, well, You didn't hit him, man. You didn't hit him. None of those bullets hit me. You hear me? Not one bullet hit me. The Holy Spirit would protect you even when you don't even know. When you don't even know. Joseph is in the pit. Ishmaelites come by. God sent them by at the right time. So now they got to get Joseph out of the pit to sell him. Hallelujah. The same one that you tried to kill. The same one that you try to hurt is the same one that going to protect you. Now, verse 28 says, then they passed by the Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. The Ishmaelites bought Joseph from his brother for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces, was betrayed for 30 pieces by Judas. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, he tore his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not. And I, whither shall I go? Reuben says, my brother is no longer in the pit. He's thinking in his mind that something bad has happened to Joseph because his other brothers are wicked. They are wicked. They always made fun of Joseph and want to beat him up. And Reuben and would always try to plead for Joseph, protection. But now he goes to the pit, and Joseph is no longer in the pit. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid, a little goat, and dipped the coat in the blood. See the deception? These kids are so wicked that they're even going to deceive their own father. They're going to deceive their own father because they hate their brother so much. Don't you have some family members that don't like you, don't care for you because you would tell the truth regardless? Hallelujah. And this is why the world hate us. They call us homophobic, but we're not homophobic. We love the gay. We love the lesbians. We love the gangbanger. We love the prostitute, but we hate sin. We hate sin. If you can't hate sin, you can't be on God's side. David said, I said this yesterday, David told the Lord, he said, Lord, don't I hate what you hate and love what you love? If you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to honor God with your heart, mind, body, and soul, you're going to have to hate sin. It doesn't mean that you hate the person because they love same-sex marriage, because he married to a man and she married to a woman. I just can't stand that stuff. Why? Because it's sin. And you know that they're heading towards hell in that condition. And that don't mean that you hate them, but you hate you hate the situation that's going to lead them to hell. And you would love to see them repent and turn from sinning and go to heaven. That's not what David says. He says, and verse 32, and they sent the coat of the many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be the son's coat or not. They tell the father, excuse me, they say to the father, you look at the coat. You will know whether if it's your son's coat or not. We don't really know. This is some wickedness. This is some deception of a great kind. Listen to what they're saying to their father, Jesus. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. And even beasts have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. He's saying now, to the amount of blood that's on the coat, that Joseph had to be torn to pieces by some wild beast. His sons that are there know that that's not true, because they know that they sold him. They throw him in the pit, then they take him out the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And he's on his way to Egypt to be sold again. Because they buy slaves and they sell slaves. It's a business. Sometimes they keep the slaves for a little bit to work for them for a little bit, and then after that they sell them to another slave, owner or buyer. He knew it. Now, and verse 34 says, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will not go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Jacob loved Joseph. He loved Joseph. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard. Joseph is moving from the pit to Potiphar's house. Well, we know the whole story that Potiphar's wife is going to try to have sex with him, but he's not going to give in to her because Joseph has a heart for the Lord. You see, there's times that you're going to be doing things and be in places where people are going to test you and try you. But you got to remember that you belong to God. As there fails serendipity, every moment is slip of the tongue, the development of an unwelcome and unforeseen circumstance, and the vengeance of God, anything which might suddenly reveal the truth to their father, posing them as the rogues they really were, there was a skulking lifestyle. The way of life of any hypocrite, analogous to perpetually wearing a mask or a disguise to hide the real self, pretending to be one person, all the while being another. But that is only half of the nasty story. Sir Walter Scott well wrote, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave. When first we practice to deceive, the hypocrite enjoying the benefits of his duplicity, etc., becomes desperately committed to maintaining the facade at any cost, doing all that becomes necessary to keep the charade going, lest he suffer financial, social, and emotional losses that his carnality could not accept. The cause of perpetuating the lie comes to enmesh his spirit. The myth becomes master. Luke does not specify the amount of money Ananias Sapphira had held back. Was it 5% of the sale price, or 20%, or 50%? We do not know, and it does not matter. A lie is a lie. There are no little white lies. A lie of duplicity can develop around any lie, big or little. A life of duplicity can develop around any lie, big or little. It will always bear the same fruit, however. However, see, it's important for us to know that if we decide to be deceptive, deception will continue to carry the same outcome. There are not going to be a different outcome when you become deceptive. A liar must tell another lie to cover up the first lie, and another lie to cover up the second lie. This is how it works. It's not that you're telling one lie and that's it, over. No, it's going to be something that's going to come up. And then it has to be always on his P's and Q's, or on her P's and Q's, because the moment you slip the no, it's going to come to light. You go tell your wife, "Honey, oh, I was at the store, and I meet Harry at the store, and me and Harry started kicking the bull, but you know how, I ain't seen it for a while." "Well?" She said, "Well, that's good. You guys had a good time when you met each other, that you had a good conversation." "Oh, yes, we were talking. We had a good time, honey. Oh, baby, it was so good seeing him. He dressed good. Did he have his wife with him?" "No, he was just getting gas, and then he went into the quick karaoke store to get a sandwich and kick in the boo-boo." But in conversation after that stopped, they're watching a movie. And the husband or the wife, whatever, they know that they were lying. And something comes out of the mouth that didn't line up. "Oh, I was over at John's house, and these girls was at the house, and we were "Well, I just thought that you would say, I just thought you told me just earlier today, yesterday, you told me that you were with Harry at the quick karaoke store at the gas station, see? Because if you don't remember..." And liars have a tendency of forgetting. "'Cause they try so hard to keep up the facade. They keep try so hard to keep it up with keeping covering their tracks. They keep trying to cover their tracks of lying. But something happens. Something happened because the God of all understanding will expose them." Remember, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit protects against all deceptive agents. He will expose them. If you keep doing good and folk trying to come to you with a deceptive spirit, God's going to expose them. You may not see the first time because your heart is so open and so kind and so loving that you don't see the deception. But God loves us so much that he will not keep us and let us remain in darkness. He will expose them at some point in time. No, we read this scripture here in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16. Remember, we start here with this scripture. Let's go back there and look at it. Because I got a little right in here I want to read to you. And he told, we read several verses here. And God spoke to Moses for the children of Israel. And he said, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Now you know that when they came out of Egypt, God told them that when they go into Cana, that don't get involved with the people of Cana. Don't get Canaanite's lifestyle. They were worshiping many different gods and many different entities. God said, don't get caught up with that stuff. But they end up marrying in these different religions and stuff. And they find themselves worshiping these same gods that they were worshiping, gods that can't walk, can't talk, can't do anything. They were worshiping statues made of wood or made of stone or so on, you understand, made of clay. And they were worshiping. God told them, said, look, take heed, pay attention, observe. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. And turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. God wants us to worship him. We sometimes we may not be worshiping a statue of a man or a woman, but you get a Rolex watch and, my God, you don't want nobody to touch it. You don't want it to get dust on it. You get some new alligator shoes, crocodile shoes, and you go crazy. If somebody touch them, you wanna knock them out. You get a new car and you don't want the car to get bird dung on it. You don't want it to get wet. You don't want dust get on it. One man here in Boston killed another man because he had this nice picket fence. And he had just painted the fence in white, and it looks good. And the man came and laying upon his fence. And he went and got his gun and shot the man because he was worshiping his fence. He had his nice house with a nice white picket fence. It looks real good. Lawn was nicely mowed, you know. All that stuff he was worshiping. And you have folk, all they talk about is their car. They talk about their house and the swimming pools and the four-car, three-car garage. All that's they're worshiping their house. God said, don't you be deceived. Don't let your heart be deceived. In verse 16, it gives a clue in preventing deception. God says, take heed to yourselves. What does this tell us? This means pay attention, take care, guard yourself, watch out. We cannot just skip our way into the kingdom of God. It will take a great deal of effort. Does not Christ tell us to watch in prayer? Watch in prayer always. Luke 21 and 36. But he does not say to watch just world events. One of the things that we have to watch most closely is ourselves. A lot of times we are so intent of pointing our fingers at others because others seem to be doing so much worse than us. But it's not about what they're doing. It's about what we're doing. God said, examine yourself first. Before you try to take the milk out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of yours, then you'll be able to see clearly to take the milk out of your brother's eye. We forget about the little sin that we call little sin, but all sin is sin. And God is not measuring sin by the size. He's just measuring it by sin. It's unrighteous. It's unholy. So we just point ourselves a finger at everybody else, everybody, the homosexual, the lesbians, the prostitutes, the dope dealers. The sex traffickers, the human traffickers, the money launderers, we point our fingers at everybody. But yet still we like to sit back and gossip with people. Let me call up Sister So-and-so. I got to tell you something. Let me just tell you. Do you know So-and-so? Let me call you brother. So I got to tell you. So. And we gossiping. You know gossiping is a lie? Do you know it's a sin? We gossiping. He said, I despise the pale beard. That's gossiping. But we don't look at it. He wants us to examine our own selves. Take heed to yourself. What we are allowing what you allow yourself to do. What we are getting involved in. Who our friends are. How much time we are spending on this, that, or the other thing. How close is our relationship with God? That is what we must watch and take heed of. God wants us to jealously protect our spiritual growth. Once we develop a trait of godly character, we should never give it up. God, the eternal life that has been built in within us by God's grace and our unyieldingness. Most of the time, people become deceived because they are not watching what is going on. They are in la-la land. Sometimes intrudes into their lives. Something intrudes into their lives. And they follow it because they have no strength to resist. They have not been watching themselves. God's way requires constant vigilance. Watch and pray always, Jesus saying. Our God has to be up against deception all the time. We have to have our antennas out, making sure that what we hear is true. Thus we become deceived. Whose fault is it? Is it God's or ours? God says, take heed to yourself. He has shown us the way to live. He has revealed it to us. He has left nothing hidden that we need to know. So whose fault is it? If we get tripped up, we are not going to be able to accuse God of it. So we left. It is us. It is our fault when we fall into deception. God will often see to it that we are treated the same way we treat others. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Let me see what time I got there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The way you treat people is coming back to you. Sometimes we think we all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola call. We got this and we have that. And we think that we have arrived. We got the all the good stuff. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. Verse 1. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eyes, but considerest not the beam in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Jesus is speaking this thing here. Jesus says, check yourself first. Why are you checking everybody else out? We praying for this and praying for that, but we're not praying for God to help us to walk in obedience. We're not praying for God to help us to walk according to his word. You understand what I'm saying? And then we get up, we like the Pharisees. We'll get up and we'll testify that we're not like those other people over there because we give all the tithes and we give all the offers. We do all this work in Africa and India and China. We'll testify that. We're so holy. You know what I start my day with? Because I know I ain't reached where I want to be yet. But I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I start my day off every day laying on my back in the bed with a prayer of repentance for my thoughts. I start there because I know I'm not there. Jacob was a talented young man with great ability, but he had a serious fault. As a young man, he would lie, connive, and scheme to get his own way, without a thought for other people's feelings. He deceived his father Isaac into blessing him instead of his brother Esau with the birthright. An incident that split the family and caused much suffering and ill will. In Genesis chapter 27, it records there. God, of course, fully intended Jacob to have the birthright and could have worked it out in a way in which nobody could have got hurt. But this was not the first time that Jacob had used shrewdness to get his own way. Earlier, when Esau was about to collapse from lack of nourishment, Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils and a drink in exchange for his birthright. Jacob had a secret sin and needed to be taught a lesson. He could not look at himself and see that he had this sin. He probably looked at himself as many today in business look at themselves. He probably thought he was being clever and wise. Well, during the next few years, Jacob reaped what he had sowed. His employer and future father-in-law, Laban, tricked him out of his wages. The wife and the wife for whom he had labored 7 years in addition. Towards the end of his life, Jacob was also deceived by the use of a dead goat. Huh. Just as he had deceived his father Isaac, Jacob's coat of many colors in the blood of a goat to convince their father that his favorite son, whom they had sold, was dead. Jacob spent many years in grief, deceived as he had deceived others. When you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can lead us out of that dark place of deception. Hallelujah. This is why we have to have a mindset that is set to hear God, that is set to do the things that God has ordained us to do and not be tricked for the trickery, cunning, like the devil in the Garden of Eden. You know, some of us still have that spirit on us that was on our foreparents, Adam and Eve in the garden, that we always got to run tricks and be cunning to other believers or other people. Don't just say believers, to other people. Matthew chapter 13, let's go there. Matthew chapter 13. Glory to God. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit protects against all deceptive agents. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24 to 30. Let's see if we can do that much. 24 to 30. Another parable he put forth unto them. This is Jesus speaking, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, they slept. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blaze was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tears? Where did the tears come from? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? Will you allow us to go and pull up the tears? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse 30 says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. As Jesus says, the field is the world, in which he has established his church. The church is not of the world, John 17 and 14, but within it. He says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Just as the farmer may designate a specific plot of his land separate from the rest for a particular unique crop. However, Satan the devil has also been at work, sowing his own seeds within the field, using fragments of God's truth. Satan has founded false religions and counterfeit Christianities that preach distortion of truth. Like the tear that grows, masquerading as the wheat. Members of these false churches may appear good, pious, and very generous. Worldly Christians may possess a seemingly good heart and act with fine intentions. But when the top layer of goodness is peeled back, exposing their core, they reveal deceived hearts lacking understanding or true love. We meet a lot of people like that. We had some people here from another state, was part of Blog Talk Radio, and somewhere around 2011. And the Blog Talk family has assisted them in such ways of their needs, helping them their needs. And the people left, they left Blog Talk Radio and said that Blog Talk Radio was not of God. And after the Blog Talk family has done so much for them, God has allowed the people of God to in their knees. And we don't know. Truly, we don't know if they're alive or if they're dead. Because I haven't heard no preacher that's part of Blog Talk family mention that they heard from these people. We don't know if they're alive. Because they put their mouth on what is good. They act like they were true believers, coming with deception. But God let it happen that we show them love. We show them compassion. We show them the kindness that God said we should show. He said, well, love and kindness have I drawn thee. And we show them the same love and kindness from Blog Talk Radio, because Blog Talk Radio don't belong to me or Nancy. It don't belong to Amy. It don't belong to Benjamin. It don't belong to none of my children. It belongs to God. This ministry belongs to God. And from 2010, this is 2021, 11 years we were seeing the same. We never changed. We never deviate from it. This morning I really truly didn't feel, even though I started writing all this stuff up last night, I didn't feel like getting on the line this morning. For some reason, my body was tired. But then I kept hearing the Holy Spirit says, you got to get up. And I laid in the bed to the last minute, to the last minute. But I had already had to start programming the computer. But I had to get up and turn the computer on. The computer's not going to turn itself on by itself. It doesn't have a program where you can say, well, come on at 10 o'clock, come on at 12 o'clock, come on at 1 o'clock. You have to turn it on, you know. So here, further, the world's churches are in constant rebellion against God, refusing to keep his commandments and rejecting the absolute authority of his words. In other words, folk today are taking the word of God and turning it around to suit their own needs. They don't preach it the way God put it there, that he had these men of that was moved by the Holy Spirit and they tender the Bible. They don't write it. They don't preach it the way it is. They want to put all of their stuff on it to make you feel like they're so education. They show a higher education. The intellect is higher than yours. They have the doctorate degree, the PhD. And they would tell you, you can't even call them by, you can't even make a mistake and call them my brother John or brother or sister Anna or none of that. They want you to call them doctor, apostle, or bishop, or pastor. All this stuff, you got to give more of this stuff before you call their name. And they push their chest up like they arrive. They take the word of God and they water it down to make you happy, that you don't receive no conviction from the word of God. Every time we hear the word of God, we ought to get cut from the word of God. Some things should come out the word of God to make us think of, my God, I got to look at myself. Now, you know, when I was studying this last night, and I begin to, one of the scriptures we read is Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, talking about Ananias and Sapphira. I had to go back and look at myself. Sometimes when I was working, and sometimes when I should have given a certain amount, I gave less. And I had to repent for that in my mind, in my heart. Because God brings things to our remembrance, not just so that we can just laugh it off and go down skipping through the tulips. He brings these things so that we can examine ourselves instead of pointing fingers at others. We come and say, I can preach better than him. I know how to do that. And then we only come into church when we know the bishop is preaching. If the evangelist is preaching, you don't come. If the deacon is preaching, you don't show up. You only come when the one you want to hear preach. Like God can't talk to anybody. He talked to a donkey before to get Balaam attention. God knows how to move. He talked to anybody. That's why I don't whine, but when people come, I don't come. I said, just put the word on there, because I said, Lord, once I get on, then I send it over to earrings, because I send it to hundreds of people when I get off the radio. And then other people send it to other people, and the word keep moving. That's all we have to do. And God said, if you get up and teach the word and preach the word, he said, I'll do the rest. I'll do the convicting. You can't convict nobody's heart. He said, you preach the word the way I tell you preach it. You teach it the way I tell you to teach it, and I'll do the convicting, you know. They're refusing to keep his commandments and rejecting the absolute authority of his word. The world's ministers even pervert the word of God with infusion from such pagan religions as Buddhism, Hinduism, and other mystics and New Age faith through syncretism and false doctrine. Hallelujah. These churches accomplish the will of their evil father, deceit and destruction. And let me show you who their father is. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And you don't believe it, but many of them inside there stand up with a robe and a cross around their neck. They got a bishop ring on their finger, apostle ring, a chief apostle ring, and all this stuff called they want to look the part. But they're not the part. They don't have it in their heart. It's got to be in your heart. Remember I told you, in Jeremiah 17 and 9 that the heart is deceitful and wicked above all. Who can know it? Remember that? It's right there, the heart. But here in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abhorred not in the truth. Now they cut up with the truth. He don't deal with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's why you see a lot of folk don't want to go and search the truth out. They don't want to deliver the truth to help the people to repent, help the people to walk after Christ Jesus. If I get the pastor saying, look, listen, man, let me tell you something, son. If you continue doing this, you're going to go to hell. I just got to tell you the truth because I love you enough to tell you this. I'm not going to want to do it. You ain't going to want to do it. But the folk are not telling us the truth. They're giving us what they think we want to hear, make you feel good, tickle your ear because you got itchy ears. And then you run to church, oh, my pastor, I love my pastor. My pastor preached so powerful. My pastor, why? Because you don't got no conviction. Then you go right over to Sister Anna's house and have an intercourse with Sister Anna. That's my Bluetooth dropped. That's my phone. See, most pastors will not tell the truth. They will not tell the truth. They compromise the truth. A lot of them, not all of them. You got some pastors, man. I was over in Louisiana just a little while ago, and And Apostle Ronnie Stewart and Apostle George Stewart were just cutting up there behind the podium. I mean, telling the truth, speaking the truth, and this is what it's all about. You got to can't cut down the word. You spend 3 days trying to write a sermon, and you're trying to write a sermon. You're trying to write a sermon to appease yourself, so you can get accolades, so somebody can come and tap you on your back and tell you how good you preach, how well you preach. Now, I don't want you to tell me how well I preach. I want to preach a word that when I leave here and lay down, I can hear the Holy Spirit like he told me last night. Folk are being cut from the word. Folk are being cut from the word. They're cut from the word. No happiness. There's no joy. You get it cut. He cuts you and then he heals you. But they don't want to do that. They want to water down the word. Now here, Satan's malignant influence is not felt any only within the world. He has planted his own seeds, sowing false brethren and even ministers within the very church of God. However, as Christ reveals in his parable that we read there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30. However, as Christ reveals in his parable, God permits this intrusion, a well-camouflaged counterfeit. Tears in God's church will appear religious and devout, with no obvious warning flag, identifying them to unsuspecting church members. See that they're sitting in the midst of the church, and you don't see because you are so caught up in self that you don't hear what God is saying. Remember, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit protects against all deceptive agents. All, not some, all deceptive agents. The Holy Spirit does this. But in order for us to see and observe, we have to pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have to be listening intentively to what the Holy Spirit is saying. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to us because Jesus told us that in the book of John. He reveals to us all that he brings to our remembrance all that Jesus has said to us. So as we study the word of God and we hide the word of God in our heart, the Holy Spirit come back now and release it to us. Go to Matthew chapter 24. We are talking about the Holy Spirit. It protects against all deceptive spirits, agents. Satan have many agents. And a lot of time you're looking for them at the mall. You're looking for them at the grocery store. You're looking for them at the side of the street. But Jesus said they're in the church. He tell you that, we just read it, in the field. The field is the church. It's the house of God, the world. Now he comes in here and he said, look, there is what's going on. They're right between you. You're looking for them somewhere else. Well, they're over there in the crack house. They're in the whole house. No, they're right there in the church, sitting up in the church. All of his disciples, deceptive, speaking half-truth, sound good to you. You say, oh, preaching, we are good. Oh, preaching, we are good. Half-truth. Wouldn't tell you the whole truth. If you keep on doing what you're doing, Lord, you come to church, you'll be all right. Lord, you come to church, keep on doing what you're doing. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't doing nothing consistent with God's word. You're not living holy. You're not walking righteous. You're not trusting God. You're not obedient to the word of God. You hear the word of God, then you go and still do the same slimy stuff that you've been doing. You're not convicted in your heart because Satan has control. You remember? Go back to Jeremiah chapter 17 and 9. Mark that in your Bible. I got it in my Bible, mark in red. Go in there and look at it for yourself, okay? What he said about it. Hallelujah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The only body can know it is the Holy Ghost. Yeshua, Yahweh, God himself. How many people, I told you earlier in the message, how many people are deceived by the ones they say love them? The Confederates say it all the time. They say they love you and cuff you on your back. Gossip about you, talk about you behind your back. But they say they love you. The heart is deceitful. And the only way you're going to know that folk are deceitful and cover you up is when you listen to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't lie. You lie. I lie. We all lie from time to time. You're not a habitual liar. But ever so often, that lie will come out. One will come out of you. But the Holy Ghost will show you that the habitual deceiver, that one that you have to pay attention to, because it will take you out. Here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and 25, Jesus is speaking. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Behold, look, I just want you to remember, I have told you this before. So when these things start to happen, you can go back in your safe and say, yeah, let me just pull out this note. I took notes of when the pastor was preaching on that. Yes, I remember she said that. I remember he said that. Yes, God told me that. It's in the book. Jesus said that all these things are going to happen. He said, and they're going to be in the church, people. They're going to be in the church. That favorite bishop that you are cutting up and went sow a seed into your local church, where your pastor is spending days after days after days after days trying to get a message from God, seeking God, fasting and praying, and talking to God to get a word for your healing, for your deliverance, for your restoration. You wouldn't sow a penny. But you go on there on television, and that televangelistic person, and you send on your gold credit card, your platinum card, $1,000, $1,500. I know a preacher did that. He's doing that all the time. He wants to talk. He can get the preacher anointing. We ask, what kind of anointing it is? Because the devil has an anointing too. Because you remember, he's a counterfeit. Everything that God does, he tries to do. So he has anointing too. But it's not righteous anointing. It's not holy anointing. His anointing is a sinful anointing, a destructive anointing. That's why you have folk that can go up there and preach and still go and sin. Why? Because their anointing is a destructive anointing. It's not the true anointing. They're anointed by Satan to deceive the people of God. So they come and tell you what they want you to know, but not what you need to know. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, there shall arise false Christ. They got a friend in Florida say, here is Jesus Christ, and people are selling their house and their cars and giving them all the money. Say, here is Jesus Christ, and he's performing signs and wonders. Listen to what the Bible says. He is doing stuff. People are getting healed in his ministry. But he's not Jesus Christ. He is one of those agents that Satan has out there working for him. Because I'm never going to tell somebody that I'm Jesus Christ. No matter how he used me or used us, we should never say we're Jesus Christ. Folks say, telling people, and then they go, you can tell when somebody not have the true anointing. They're on television, they got jets, they got yachts, they got all this stuff. And then they're telling the people, you're all little gods. Where in the Bible? That's a deception in the book of Genesis, where Satan tells Eve that God knows when your eyes open, you should be as gods. And they took it from there, so telling the people, now you all are little gods, you all are little gods, you're baby gods. I'll be cracking up, man. And people say they're laughing, yes, yes, yes. And they run outside. I didn't know we were little gods. They said, I'm so glad to know the pastor just insight. Give me insight that I'm a little god. You fool. Believing that stupid stuff. Run around saying you're a little god. How many gods do we want? We got one supreme being. One supreme God. A sovereign God. You don't need another god. What you need to do is follow God. Follow him. Be obedient. Trust him when he said do this, do it. When he said don't do that, don't do it. Because it look good or feel good to you, don't go doing it. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Increasing deception in Matthew chapter 24 verse 25. Increasing deception will mark the end time. At a certain point, these deceptions will be augmented by signs and wonders, miracles. Whether they are true miracles or not, we do not know. Satan has the ability to do certain things of that nature. Whatever they are, they will seem to give credence to the ideas of the people who are doing them. If we are not careful, even the elect, if possible, could be deceived. That's why we got to pay attention. We are the people that say that we are the sons and daughters of God. We have to pay attention and spend more time listening to God's instructions. God, show me what I don't know. Tell me what I don't see. Show me what I can't see. Speak in my ear gate what I don't know, Lord. Lord, I know sometimes I hear so much that sounds good. But Lord, is it good? Tell me, Lord. Because I don't know everything, but you know all. Ask God. The phrase of if possible has made some people wonder, can the elect be deceived? Well, it's kind of a trick question. If they are deceived, then they are not the elect. It is because the elect do something that keeps them from being deceived. See, if you know that you are called by God, you're going to search out the things that God wants you to do. You're going to go after the instructions of God. So if you are going after the instruction of God, it's going to be very difficult for Satan to put some of his instructions in. He will try. But put it in because the blood will cover what you are getting from God. It is not as if God says, here's the one group. I'm not going to let them be deceived. That is not how it works. They are the elect because they do not allow themselves to be deceived. Are you getting some situations where this young man looks good? He has a six-pack. He has some biceps and triceps and abdominal muscles and all this stuff is working. It's summertime and he got his shirt off and he's coming by because he knows that your husband is not doing what he should be doing. Your wife is not doing what she should be doing. So the young man come by. Hallelujah. The young woman come by to deceive you, to make you feel that you are all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. So now you can have a good time with her or with him. But now you got to recognize who you are. You are the elect. You are the elect. Even if my wife doesn't feel like having intercourse with me, I'm not going out and have sex with some young girl or some other woman or something. That's the Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you have given me. And I thank you for understanding, Lord. I thank you for enlightening me to righteousness and holiness. When she is ready, she'll be ready. When he is ready, I'll be ready. You got to get that. You got to trip that enemy up. Don't let the enemy trip you up. He's a trickster. He's a cunning. He got all kind of tricks. But here, so it's not possible to deceive the elect. It is not because these people have a special safety net around them so that they cannot be deceived. They cannot be deceived because they will not let themselves be deceived, which is why they are the elect. They are working hard so that they will not be deceived. And that is the group that we want to be part of. If that we want to be the part and declare that we are part of the elect, we are going to have to seek God on a daily basis. We can't seek him when we feel good. We can't seek him when things are going good for us. We can't seek him when we're able to pay all of our bills. We can't seek him when the car's working right. Or we got to seek him when the car works right, when the bills can't be paid, when they need to be paid. We got to seek him all the time. We got to find time for God. Find time to be with God and in God's presence. Man, I didn't want to come on Blog Talk Radio this morning. I told the truth. I'm tired. I slept in the evening because I was so tired. I don't know what happened in the evening time. Something just hit me. And I just got to go into bed and go to sleep. and I take my evening nap. And then once I take my 45 minutes to an hour and a half nap, I can't go to sleep at night. I just can't go to sleep. Something keep me from going back to sleep. So I said, well, let me just mess with the computer. And I was listening to a lot of stuff last night about this GCR. Had a good call, had some fellowship with Evangelist Tina last night. She called and we had some talk. Then we went on Deacon Fraser line. Deacon prayed for her and her family, for some other people. But I couldn't go to sleep. So I said, no, this morning, my body want to go to sleep. I'm tired. You know, if you don't sleep at night, your body going to want to sleep in the day. It got to rejuvenate. That's how your body heals, when you're sleeping. Yeah, when you're resting. So I lay in the bed and I said, man, I ain't going on blog. So I got the thing programmed. I got the sermon right out. I got it written out and I got the scriptures in my book. I said, man, I lay there. Man, it's 5 to 11. I said, man. And then the Holy Spirit said, change the topic a little bit. I said, ain't going on there. He said, get up. So I get up. And I ain't even drink my tea. I still got my tea right there. I got to go mix some herbs up in a minute and have that, some new stuff I'm using. And I got something I'll tell you all. If you've got some knee pain or shoulder pain, man, I'm telling you, just go. Don't go on the website where they sell this. Go on Amazon. Because the website sells it about $67 a bottle. But you can get it on Amazon for $48 a bottle. And if you buy a lot, like 6 bottles, it's probably about $35 a bottle or something like that. This thing worked instant. I mean, instant. And I got one bottle. It's called Heal-N-Soothe. Heal and Soothe. But it don't put A-N-D. It's put Heal-N, like N and Nancy, Soothe. Heal-N-Soothe. And I'm telling you something, this thing goes right to your joints. Man, and any inflammation in your joint, it just moves it instant. But when thing about this that I didn't understand, you have to use 3 pills. 3 pills last all day. And I took 3 pills yesterday when it came yesterday. And I tell you, in my right shoulder, it seemed like somebody's digging a hole inside there, digging out the cartilage. Well, I tell you last night, yesterday when I took them 3 pills, whatever inflammation was there, just gone. I ain't even take the 3 pills yet this morning. And I still ain't feel no pain in my shoulder. But let me read this last section that I got here for you, and then I'm going to close out. Now, and Matthew 24 talks about the Christ. They're coming and seeing that they're the Christ and they're false prophets. We have to be aware. And as I talked about in Luke 21 and 36, where he said, watch in prayer. And I told you that it's not watching people, because we got a tendency of watching everybody else. But we got to watch ourselves. We got to watch the ones we're associating with, the ones we're spending time with, where we're going, what we're doing, how we're doing it, and when we're doing it. We got to watch all that stuff. That's what he wants. This is what he calls. I'm going to do a part 2 of this message because I got a lot of stuff in here that I want to give you. But here in 24, he says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And he said, behold, I have told you before. Behold, I've told you before. In other words, I've warned you. I've let you know. I'm not letting you be blind to what's coming or what is going on. I'm letting you know. In admonition is that we should have a healthy skepticism of miracles, because miracles may produce deception. It is not that the miracle does not occur. The more important point is, does it witness to the truth? Does it witness to the ultimate reality, the will of God? In both Jesus' instructions in the New Testament, Matthew 24:24 and Matthew 7:22-23, and Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, and in Moses' teaching in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1 to 5, it is clear, regardless of the wonder done, if a person even implies that we are free to disobey God, the miracle is not a demonstration of God's truth. A miracle, it was, but it does not validate God's truth. Understand this. The main objective of miracles or wonders, the signs, is to point to the eternal God, to point to Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh. Miracles is to point to him. But when miracles are pointing to the one that's speaking, that people begin to give them accolades for what God may have done through them. I say that because a lot of them stuff are doing through with the devil too. Like, remember, I told you that the devil's a counterfeit, a miracle worker. And he works through people. We got to watch when people begin to act like he's there doing this stuff. We must be especially skeptical of those who say that they believe in keeping God's laws and then turn right around and say that the Sabbath and holy days are no longer necessary and that true Christians can keep Christmas, Easter, and Halloween, etc. But they believe that they are to keep God's laws. It is deceptive because so many of such people are really nice individuals. We got to watch that. Pay attention to what God is saying. Last scripture, very last scripture, John chapter 1 and verse 17. St. John chapter 1 and verse 17. Jesus speaks so clearly to us, his people. And Jesus says, sanctify thyself. Sanctify them, excuse me, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Very short text right here. He's talking to the Father concerning us. Hey, you said the disciples at that time, but it was not only for the disciples, because he said so in this chapter. It was also for us, because we believe in him through the word that the disciples, the apostles, preach. They preach about Jesus. They preach about the kingdom. And we believe that the kingdom is real, because we are God's kingdom, and he is our king. Now, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God, as the more we study the word of God, we should become more and more sanctified, more closer to God, taking on his very characteristics. Because when we are sanctified, it means that we are being set apart. So the more we study and invest in fellowshipping with each other of like mind, like spirit, we become more and more like him, like our Father. Remember he talked about Satan's children in John chapter 8, verse 44? But this does not mean that what was in the law was not true. John is merely saying that grace came and a complete telling or revealing of the truth was made through the mediator, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He finished it, put the capstone on it, and revealed it to us. So whatever does not agree with the truth is false or unprofitable. Whatever is false will not lead to eternal life, but to the second death, where we do not want to go. Once we see that, the light of truth has illuminated something false, we drop it. We should get away from it as fast as we can. Do not linger over it. When something does not seem right, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us to give us the information that we need to be victorious over that thing that is trying to invade our intellect, our heart, our thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? I already preached from this verse, this chapter, but we're not going there now. When we come back, the next time we come back, we'll go into, by God have mercy, we'll go into Revelation or somebody, Second Thessalonians. We got some stuff there. But Father God, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Lord, what an awesome word. Your word is truth, O God. We ask you today that you would sanctify us through your word, for your word is truth. Lord, we just ask today that you continue to bless us to hear, bless us to see, and bless us to do. Father, we recognize that it's not about us, but it's about you. You have done such great work at Calvary so that we have access to the tree of life. And Lord, even as the brother deacons always say, if we had a million, trillion times, we could not praise you enough for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you would do. Father, we ask that you continue to forgive us, continue to watch over us, continue to keep us, continue to shield us from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. And as you do that, O God, we continue to bless you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to touch those that are sick in their body. And Lord, even for Apostle Prophet Allen, Kerry Allen, Lord, for his family members, his daughters, Lord, I know how what hurt they must be feeling even now, because I know I still feel hurt from my daughter Amy crossing over. Lord, it still cuts my heart. And sometimes I find myself when I'm alone weeping because I feel like she's here with me in spirit, but her flesh is gone. Lord, I ask you to give them strength, O God, to bear the loss of their father. He covered them with prayer. He covered them with the word of God, the teaching, and Lord, the preaching. Lord, I ask you to order their steps and protect them as they go out and as they return in. Lord, shield everyone under the sound of my voice and those that would hear this word at a later date, that they might go in and that they might say, Lord, I thank you for protecting me against the deceptive agents, those agents that Satan has sent out to deceive, delay, and even destroy. Lord, I ask you to bless us to hear your voice. In Jesus' holy name, I think Bishop is on the line, I think. If, I don't know. If you're on the line, you want to do the prayer of salvation, come on in, Bishop.
Praise the Lord. I'm here, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've been listening to you, but I'm gonna go heat up my tea. But I'm gonna listen to you. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bishop.
Now, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's your opportunity. Please accept this opportunity. And if you've shied away from the faith, please, prodigal sons and daughters, rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the last days. Times are not just perilous, it's the last days. Pay attention, everyone. Pay attention to storms. Now we have another storm brewing in the Gulf of Mexico and threatening the United States once again. So God, help these people to understand that you are the only way. We never know in this life when God is going to require our souls. So please, I urge you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For the book of John in the chapter 3, verse 16, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him did not perish. Hallelujah. But have life everlasting. Hallelujah. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. Now, the book of Romans, chapter 3, where God says, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. But gives us another. Hallelujah. He redeemed it through the blood of the Lamb. And that is Jesus Christ. And also, in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23, the word of God says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Jesus is the only way. No matter what man may say, Jesus is the only way. And if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, it clearly states, oh, nor is there salvation in any other. There is no name under the heaven among men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Now, in the book of Romans, at chapter 10, beginning at verse 8 through 13, salvation is needed. But what does it say? Huh? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And salvation prayer is confession is made in verse 9. Hallelujah. And it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. But there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the Lord is the same Lord over all. Is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the promise of God. It is. Tell him, Father, I need you. I'm giving my life up to you, Jesus. You're my Savior. I'm turning my life over to you. I'm committing myself to you and to you only. I no longer want to be in the enemy's camp. I'm now saved just by saying this confession. And my slate is clean. I'm a brand new creature in Christ. Now, you made that confession. You must repent. Repent, repent, repent. And repentance is not returning to the previous way you lived before you made this confession. All your sins are forgiven. That's the promise of God. Then, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38 through 41, then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and encouraged them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received this, his word, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added with them. We ask you, with all our heart, to join those 3,000 souls, plus many millions who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We want to, when we cross over, we want to be in God's good grace. And we want to be with Jesus. So give your life to the Lord. Hallelujah. Give your life to the Lord and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've made this confession, remember you must repent, not going back to what you did before you made this confession statement. Okay. Now, invite people to your baptism, which is the next step. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. No other name. As it said in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. There's no other name mentioned. Hallelujah. So, congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. If you don't possess a Bible, we suggest that you do get a Bible and read the scriptures daily. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you where he wants you to read and to deliver all truth to you, which is his word. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't understand, ask the Holy Spirit. He will explain it to you. He will send someone along to explain it to you, just what he means when he's speaking through the scriptures. So invite people to your baptism. Everyone that you see. Invite them, be it friend or foe, them neighbors, family members, co-workers, bus drivers, truck drivers, anyone you see. Invite them to your baptism. For by doing so, you may cause a soul to repent of the life they were living and giving their life to the Lord God Almighty. So God bless each and every one of you. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the family of God. Hallelujah. And for you new believers, God bless each and every one of you also. Glad to have you in the family of God. I'm looking forward to hearing from you again on Block Talk Radio. And remember, everyone that you invite, if they accept, anyone except Jesus as the Lord and Savior, that soul is accounted to you. Hallelujah. You become an apostle by just inviting people to your baptism. You know, you may not get ordained as an apostle, but an apostle is you trying to build the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's apostleship. Hallelujah. And by doing so, you don't know. You may cause someone to be come in, to be in the clergy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless each and every one of you. And Apostle, this back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus for you. How's Darren doing?
He's released from the hospital as of yesterday, and he's now getting rehab at home. Matter of fact, the people were there today at his house. So he started the rehab in the hospital and continuing at home.
Praise God.
He's there.
He's awesome.
He's out of the hospital.
Awesome.
He was out of harm's way. So
that is good.
And he's moving a little slow, but he's moving. Amen.
Yeah.
As long as he's moving. And he's on this side of the grave. That's all that matters. He's on this
Amen.
Side of the grave. God will do whatever needs to be done. You know, we had we was on Brother Deacon Fraser line last night while I was doing this sermon. And Deacon was calling, but I didn't go in. But I was, Mother Grant came on. I was on Friday night too, but I didn't, you know, Friday night I didn't say nothing. And because I was getting summer for Saturday. Of course, for some reason, Evangelist Campbell, I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, she ain't send me no message. I didn't never have to call her to get her to preach. She always sent me the message a week in advance. So, but you know, this is what we're talking about. You have to be able to discern whatever's going on and follow what the Holy Spirit is leading. So I had to get the message together. And last night I was listening while I was getting this message for today. So I looked on my phone and there's Evangelist Tina. And she's all laughing. She says, you know who it is? I said, I know who it is. I see the number. I know who it is. So we get to talking and talking and talking. And she's saying how close it is, closer than ever. And I said, well, I know it's close because I've been listening to President Trump and all the other people that are trying to get it come talking about it on YouTube. And then she said, well, there's some friend of hers that has some problem with the heart and the blood pressure and all this stuff, and the doctors can't get it, seem like they can't correct it, so she needed prayer. So I told her, so let's go. I'm on Deacon Fraser line, and Mother Grant is reading. And Deacon would love to hear your voice because he's always praying for you, seeing that he don't know where you're going and they miss you and all. She said, oh, yes. So I said, go on. And then we went on this. I pulled her in to the conference, and Deacon prayed for all of them and everybody. She had a good time. She prayed, and yes, it was good, you know. So then the Lord changed this message a little bit. I had to add it one way, but then this morning when he finally got me up out of bed, he said, change the title a little bit. so I had to change the title a little bit. But otherwise, that's the word of God. And I'm grateful to hear that Darren is home, you know, because now he's not really had to contend with the virus in the hospital. At least he's in his own space, you know, with his family. That is good. God is good. To God be the glory. We just thank God for that. Other people is going to be released too. So we're thanking God for that, you know. Apostle Jefferson's sister, she'll be fixed. You know, she's God is fixing her complete. She's going to come up to the hospital, and she's going to do great. Yep. So we're thanking God for that. Anyway, the line is open. Yep. Apostle Stewart was on here today. I was surprised that he came on today because he usually must be didn't have no church or some other church, something with her. But he was on there. He just got off the line. We thank God for you all that's come on.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, you're saying something about water over there?
There was a storm hit over there as well.
Yeah.
Oh, the storm hit them too?
Yeah, well.
I don't know about his city, but that could be why the church may not have been open.
Yeah. His church pretty low, yeah.
West Wego was there. Yeah. I mean, all over Louisiana.
Avondale, West Wego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be, his church is in West. Well, his church is in West Wego, and Pastor's telling me now that it was pretty bad in West Wego, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So it could be that his church was hit. I pray not hit, but that, you know, because of the dire situation all around, that he wasn't able to open church today.
Yes.
That could be what it is. Because he's never on the line on Sunday.
Well, just to get there might have been a hassle. It may have not hit the church, but just to get to where the church is located, you know,
Papa Law, you there?
Yeah.
Apostle Millie.
Yeah,
there.
I'm here.
How you doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm having a little graham cracker. Having a graham cracker. And yes, getting my tea. Let's get my tea. After I drink this tea, then I have to go make me some herbs up so I can have my herbs because I got to have them every day, you know. But we are doing great today. The Lord has grant us one more day. I always love to praise him for the day, pent for the day, you know, because like I said, there were people that were here last night, but they're not here this morning, you know. But thank God we are still here, you know, so I have to give him praise. I have to give him praise. Amen. I don't have any reason to complain. That's the truth. I really don't have any reason to complain. You know, if I'm breathing, that's all. I say, Lord, thank you. I don't look at the finances, and they don't look good right now, but I don't look at them. I don't look at them. My wife tells me. She tells me stuff. I say, honey, I'm not paying. I don't mind. Because once you start worrying about stuff, you get out of focus. I don't want to get out of focus. And like I'm talking about this deceptive agent, the deceptive agents, if you get out of focus, these agents can then mess with you. Say, well, I thought God said he would supply all your needs, all that stuff that would start putting in your ear. But I got all my needs when I wake up in the morning. Anything else is extra. You understand? Anything else is extra. When I wake up, when he wake me up in the morning, I have everything that I need. So I'm not going to get up complaining. You know, I can see, I can hear, my feet working, my hand working. I'm clothed in my right mind. Nobody got to take me to the bathroom. I go there by myself. Man, God, I tell you, I have everything that I need. Anything else that God give me beyond that is an extra. I say, Lord, I thank you. Because you didn't have to do it. So I thank you. But the line is open. I thank you all for coming on. The line is open. The line is open.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Life is strength. And I thank the Lord for, I just heard a little of you, Apostle, but I really enjoyed the word, and I always love to hear you, you know, minister the word, you know, this person much needed today. And to your family, and to Pastor Washington, Pastor Washington, and to Bishop Washington and their family. I just thank God for Jesus. And I got my other girlfriend I was telling you all about when we was all together. And later where she came for the weekend. And also Apostle, my grandson, my oldest grandson, got married last night. And so she came in town, and I had forgot about people been getting married, really. Talking about, I knew people been getting married in September. I had forgot the date. But she came in on Friday, and later on I started thinking about it. I thought, I got me away. But I praise God for that, you know. And we had a lovely time, and I had been talking to her about you all. And so when we get through on this line, the medication that you were talking about early, she would like for you to give her, I guess, the name of it because she didn't understand. But I really enjoyed the Word of God. I really enjoyed it. And we were talking this morning and even yesterday. We were talking, people need to make some changes. They really do. They need to really pay attention to what's going on. Amen. But all we still can do is tell them. Let's keep telling. Amen. That's all we can do. And pray. Pray and pay. Amen.
Pray
the word.
Amen.
I mean, what we see.
Amen. That's right. You got to pray, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on around us because this is the time that the enemy is showing up and he is showing out. He's acting a fool. You know, he's acting a fool like he is because he is a fool. You know, but he is surely acting a fool, showing up his colors right now. And we have to stay abreast of what he's doing. You know, stay focused on what Christ called us to do. I am going to text the message. I'm going to text the name, the way it's done, and when Apostle probably even Apostle can get it for you or send it to you, send the information to your true bishop. I'm sending it to your phone right now that you can send it to Apostle Millie, and of course she will see it. And this is the way that it is on, that you'll need to put it in order to get it, because if you put it in any other way, you'll see something else will come up. You got to put it in exactly on Amazon the way that I sent it to you, and it will come up. And
also, I'm on Amazon as you speak, and as soon as you send it to me, I have an account with Amazon. I'll type it in, and it'll come right up.
It'll come right up, and it's going to be by Living Well. And I tell you, I've used a lot of, I got so many herbs. I take a picture and send you, you'll be amazed at the herbs that I have. But I've never had an herb that works as fast as this particular herb. Because I suffer with my right shoulder. The cuff of my right shoulder gives me a lot of problems. I don't even like to speak it that way, but I was getting a lot of pain in my cuff. Like when I laying down at night, man, I can't go there because and there's just pain. And then if I take excess strength Excedrin, they would keep me because they got so much caffeine in them, but they would take away the pain. But yesterday I got my package was delivered yesterday. And my wife, she said, you got another package from you got another package from Amazon? I said, yes. Yes, I got some herbs coming. And it was that. And I took 3 pills because it said take 3 pills once a day. And I took 3 pills. And I tell you, in minutes, once it got into my blood, the pain was gone. And it's still working because I haven't took 3 this morning yet. And I still haven't feel any pain.
Amen.
Yeah, so I sent it to Bishop. It should be on Bishop Pitt phone right now.
Somewhere.
You're welcome.
I have it, Apostle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. God bless all of you on this line. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Bless you too, Apostle.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Apostle Calendar, thank you again for a word of power from the Lord himself. From the heart of God, there's always power in the word. And as we hear it, we get even more wisdom. We get more understanding. What I did hear, I didn't hear much of it, because we actually began to talk about the Lord earlier. I'm just being honest, and we began to have church. We're supposed to be calling the line, and as we got on the line, we began to talk. And next thing you know, the time had passed. We got so much into talking about the Word of God that time had passed. So God had us having church. Nevertheless, we were still having church. You know, and I always
Amen.
Tell people, whether we go to the building or whether we go to a line, we are the church. That's what we were talking about. That was part of the subject matter, that we are the church. And wherever we are, there the church is, because we bring the Holy Spirit with us. He lives in us. And as long as we're following in the ways of God, then we can be the church. Amen?
Amen.
So we were really, all three of us were engaged in speaking on the Lord and on what's going on in the world today. So we were basically on the same page. Hallelujah. We were talking about the same stuff that you were talking about. And I just thank God that we have saints that understand the word, as saints that have some wisdom of God, because we share with each other and we care for each other. And that's so important, because we're sharing what God is putting in our spirits, and we're sharing the word of God, not just what we feel or think, but we're sharing the actual word of God. And that's all about, so that people can understand that God cares about us, God loves us, and he's also a God of wrath.
Amen.
He's also a jealous God. And Evangelist Nader mentioned that this morning. God is a jealous God. And if we don't obey him, we'll see it come upon us and come upon our family. And
yes.
It's safe. A lot of times when we do things selfishly, and we do what we feel we want to do. It's how it feels good to me. It feels good to you. But when it's not in line with the word of God, it's not good. No matter good it feels, no matter how good it looks, if it's not in line with his will, it's not good at all. And so what happens is that when we do these things, it can affect other people. It can affect our loved ones, our neighbors, the job, you know, so many different areas it can affect, and so many other people it can affect. So when we're selfish and we're doing these things, you don't know how many people you can harm. You don't know how many much damage you can do, but God knows. God knows, and he's going to charge us for it. He's going to charge us for it. When we cause people to suffer by what we do, we're going to suffer even the more. And God has said to his given, much is required. And we are going to have to be accountable to God whether we want to be or not. Whether we want to be or not. God is listening. God is watching. And whether we want to be accountable, whether we want to not think that we're responsible for things that happen to other people as a result of things that we do or don't do, then we're sadly mistaken. That was just on my heart just now. The Holy Spirit just gave me that. We're just sadly mistaken, because it's going to affect our lives as well as others. And when our family hurts, when we see our family hurting, it's not always our fault, but we hurt.
Amen.
We hurt. We grieve. We pray, and we do all that, but we still grieve because of the things that we see that's happening in this world, but we don't want to be responsible. We don't want to be responsible for something bad happening to somebody. You know, we don't want to be the ones that God's going to come after when we do something that we're not supposed to do. It's going to affect us in some way or way or another. It's going to affect us. So we got to listen to these messages and stay prepared. Stay prepared at all costs. Praise God, worship God, serve God.
Hallelujah.
At all costs, no matter what it costs, no matter where we got to go or what we got to do, we had better serve the Lord.
Man.
We had better love God. And that's what all these messages is about. It's about serving God. And when we serve him, and some people, we've got to serve him by being obedient and worshiping him by being obedient. Because we can do a lot of service, but that doesn't mean we're serving God.
Right now.
People serve all the time. People do good things in church. Thing is a good thing. Come on now. A good thing is a good thing. People can do good things for people and still not be doing the word of God.
Amen.
You can give good, but if you're not giving obedience to God, then it's not good. What you did was good. That thing was good, but it's not good for us because we're not obeying God.
That's right now.
Everything we think is a blessing. We can give to other people and do right. We can do right by people and give them stuff. Give them stuff. Be there for them. All of that. You go hold somebody's hand and say a prayer for them and don't be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All hear that. People don't want to hear that. You got some people laying hands on people and they don't have nothing to do with Jesus.
So too.
You can't let people lay hands on you. You can't, you know, some people pray and it ain't got no relationship with Jesus. They just know how to say a prayer. Mm-hmm. And some of them pray eloquently. Pray long prayers. And don't have nothing to do with Jesus.
Yes,
praying in the name of Jesus Christ. And don't have nothing to do with Jesus. So we got to be careful of the company we keep. It's a warning. Be careful of the company we keep because we can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's why God said, come out from among them. But pray for them. And stay in line because when we cross that line, we cross God. When we cross the line, that holiness, when we cross over from the left to the right and we just cross over and we make those turns that we should turn into, those turns we ought to not make, guess what? We're crossing God.
Amen.
Crossing God, and we don't want to cross God. And we see the wrath of God in this earth because God is saying loud and clear, if you don't obey me, you're going to experience my wrath.
Amen.
Amen. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. We're going to experience the wrath of God, and we see his wrath more and more each day we see it.
Amen.
And it's saying earlier that it's not God's fault that man sinned. It's not his fault.
My.
We chose to sin. We chose to not listen.
Right.
And then as a result of that, what happens? God is going to pour out his wrath.
Amen.
Takes him a while because he's a faithful God.
He is a long-suffering.
He's a long-suffering, my God. He's patient. But one day, if we don't straighten it up, we're going to experience the wrath of God.
That's right.
And we're going to see family members.
Amen.
We're going to see neighbors. We're going to see people suffer. Aren't the people suffering as a result of what the government is doing right now? People are suffering based on a lot of times about what other people are doing. People are suffering right now. Here's an example. Look how high the gas is. Some people can't afford to put gas in their car.
Amen.
People are suffering from unrighteousness. That's a simple analogy. But, you know, it's hard to buy gas. People killing somebody at the gas pump because they're tired of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Tired of waiting. Murder, man. This is what's going on. This is the evil that's in this earth.
Yeah.
And we got to be tired of it. so tired that we continue to cry out to God for everybody, for the lost, for everybody.
Yes, Lord.
Not just some of them. So all of these messages are tied in. And the warning is, stay hooked up to Jesus. If you're not hooked up, if you're not in, get in.
Okay.
Get in and stay in. Come out of the world. Because if we don't, we're going to see the devastation. We're going to feel it. It's one thing to see it. To feel it is something else. It's one thing to see other people suffering, but what about when it touch home?
Oh, yeah.
What about when it coming? Now, it's not all the time we suffer for unrighteousness. Sometimes we're just suffering for righteousness. We're suffering because we're carrying a cross.
Amen.
We're suffering for righteousness. But I'd rather be on the righteous end than the other righteous, unrighteous end. But I, too, have made mistakes and suffered. We have all made mistakes. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And if anybody say they didn't, they're a liar.
A liar?
If you say you never fall short, if you say you never sin, you're a liar. That's a lie from hell.
That's right.
And so let's just stay prepared, Apostle. Prepare. Hold on to as much money as we can hold on to. Hold on to the people of God. Hold on to your friends. Hold on. Stay on the wall and pray and pray and pray. Like you say the word or word, watch and pray. Be careful. Watch and pray. Look at the signs. See the signs of the time. It's a warning. I told my son today, with tears coming down my face, I begged him. I said, son, don't go back there. Okay, mama. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Telling you, son, I said, I'm begging you. I said, I'm begging you. I said, don't make me cry no more.
Mm-mm-mm.
I said, don't grieve me no more. Please.
All right.
And take care of your life.
Yes.
And the woman that he's with. Do right by God.
Mm-hmm.
Do right by God. Stay away from these people. Stay away from that stuff. Look what it did. We took a picture of him. See where you were. This is the worst place you've been in. Because, see, that's what happens. It gets worse and worse and worse. When we decide we're going to go our own way, it gets worse.
Jesus.
And you call other people suffer. My brother's crying. People of God is crying for you. My brother, my sister-in-law, and all of the family. His brother, me, his sister. We're all crying. We're all suffering because of what you did—an irresponsible thing to yourself.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? It's the suffering causing other people to suffer too, because you want to do a selfish act. Because you're allowing the enemy to use you, to misuse you, to abuse you by opening up those doors. So God is speaking loudly. And I tell you, Apostle, I thank God for wisdom.
Amen.
I thank God for some understanding. And I pray that people will just be on the watch, like you said, stay prayerful and fast, because what's coming next, oh, my God.
My Lord.
It only gets worse, not getting better. Because in order for Jesus to come, it gets worse.
Right now.
It's got to get worse before
right.
He come back.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a reality that people don't want to understand. All of what's happening has been prophesied.
Amen.
And God is not a liar. Never could be a liar.
Right.
Whatever God, he has said in his word. It is truth, and it shall be so. If it hasn't happened already, it shall be so. It's going to happen. So why don't we just believe all the way? Not some of the way, believe all the word. Amen? Just believe it all from Genesis to Revelation. Believe it all. And Apostle Millie, you said it. We're in Revelation more than ever now. Read Revelation. people don't want to read it. They're scared to read it. Well, you ought to be fearing God. Man. If you fear God, you're going to read it. What? They're scared to read Revelation. You better be scared not to read it. That better make you scared when you think, well, you better be afraid. If you don't read it, for sure you're going to see some stuff that's going to make you really scared.
Amen.
So we got to read it and ask God for the understanding. And Apostle, I'm being honest with you. I didn't hear the whole word, but I got the word in my soul.
Amen.
You know, I don't even know. I know it's about the agents of the devil. He got agents all over. Yes, he does.
Yes.
He's got agencies, agents and agencies all around.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got it going on all over, but he's not greater than God. He's not greater than the blood. Nothing he can do is greater. Nothing is greater. But we got to have God on our side. And when we cross God,
yes, Lord,
trouble. When we cross the line, we got to stay in line and stay on the main line. And that is, we got to know that when we call on God, get down before the throne of grace and call on God, we know our prayers are going to be answered. Why? Because we trust him. We have faith in him. We trust him. And we love him. And therefore, he will answer the prayers of the faithful.
That's right.
And God is answering prayers left and right real fast. You notice that? Things we ask God for, it happens real, real fast lately.
That's right.
That is happening faster, faster. No sooner they come out, your mouth is done.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I don't know if y'all noticed it, but it's happening super fast. Because everything is moving super fast. Stuff is moving super fast. Our days are even faster. These days are going by so fast, it'll spin your head. You wake up, the sun is shining, next thing you know, it's dark. That's how it's moving, because that's how quickly Jesus is coming back. He's coming back quick. It's quick. It's soon. Because of all the devastation that we see. My God. So, Apostle, thank you for the word. Thank you for what I did here. And, again, it's a warning word, warning us that that enemy is out there.
That's right.
And see, he don't come off his mission. He don't take no break.
There's no break with him.
He ain't going to lay down and say, oh, well, I'll take a vacation. I'm going to tell all my agents to just take a vacation. Heck no. He don't do it that way. He stays on it. And we have to do the same thing when it comes to prayer. Stay on it.
Amen.
Stay on the wall. Don't come down, because he ain't coming down. He ain't giving it up. He's not taking no time out like Apostle said. He don't take off a break. No vacation. He's steady working. And he got more faith in doing evil than people that say they know God have some faith. Oh, yeah, I said that. Oh, yeah, he got faith, and he believed he's going to keep on trying. He believed that he could turn people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
He really believes. All I got to do is this and that, and he knows our weak points. He study us, and he watch us. He study. That's why we watch and study. We got to watch and study and pray. Amen? Because that's what he's watching, and he's studying, and he knows every weak point about us.
Amen.
Because he watch, and he's waiting for you to trip up. And so he put everything in front of you to cause you to trip up. That'll cause us to trip up, cause us to fall. If we're not strong in the Lord, we're going to fall. If we're not strong in the Lord, God said, be careful. Be careful. He said what? Be watchful and pray. Lest the devil, you be tempted, lest you fall into temptation. Jesus said that. That's important. It's important that we watch and pray.
Amen.
And stop sleeping and partying. My God, Jesus. The time we spend doing nothing, the time we spend partying, shopping, doing nothing, we could be praying.
Right.
It's more important to pray than anything else we could do in this life is to pray and honor God.
Amen now.
Most important thing that we could do, life, more important than going on your job, more important than anything, is to pray to God, obey God.
Amen.
That's the most important thing we could do. And I wish we could convey it and make everybody understand it, but unfortunately, people are just so rebellious and hard-headed.
No truth.
But some people are getting it, so we're going to keep on doing what we got to do, Apostle. Thank
That's
you,
right.
Apostle, for standing on the wall. Thank you, Apostle Millie, for standing on the wall. Evangelist Neva, that's in our presence today, praise God. Hallelujah, she's visiting. And I thank God for her. We thank God for Deacon Frazier and his family. We thank God for Apostle Stewart, his family. And we're praying for Anna and her family, Nisha. We're praying for Nisha. We pray for our daughter. We pray for Janine. I'm mentioning the folks that we put, they're on our prayer. They're on our list of prayers. And we're praying for the lost, for the belligerent, for the arrogant, for the, you know, everybody.
Everybody.
We're praying. Praise God. I don't know. Thank you so much. Thank you all again for standing with us. And I knew you would. I knew y'all would. Hallelujah for crying out for Darren. Because all of our children belong to all of us.
Amen.
Our family is tied up together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One family, we're one in God.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
We're not separate. We got to look at ourselves as one and be one. Be there for each other. Hold up each other. I told my daughter, I said, you know, I said, if we needed something, I could call my brothers and my sisters and we'd have it on it. We'd have it just like that. If we needed something, I could call y'all, and y'all would get together, and y'all would make sure we have what we need.
Amen.
That's connection. That's a God connection. That's the Yahweh. That's His way. Amen.
Amen.
And when we stay in the way, hold each other's hand in faith, we all have what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the God in us. Provides. Amen.
Amen.
And it makes me feel good to know I'm not alone in this. I'm not alone in anything that's going on. We're not alone. We got Jesus Christ in each and every one of y'all.
Amen.
We got power.
Hallelujah.
We got authority.
Yes, Lord.
We got it. We got it. And people got to know you got it. If we don't know we got it, we're lost.
Amen.
You can say it, but if you don't really know you got it, you're lost.
Come on.
You're lost and defeated. But when we my God, nothing by no means is going to harm us or defeat us because we know we got the blood, we know we got the power, we know we got authority. Hallelujah. That word that we speak is our sword.
Amen.
We got to know it, though, and we got to use it. You can have a sword and somebody come in and want to harm you, and you got a sword and don't use it, oh, well, you just gone.
That's right.
You just gone. If you don't use your weapon, what good is even a gun if you don't, if you have a gun and somebody come to harm you and you got a gun and don't use it? I'm not one for weapons. I'm just saying. We got weapon of the Holy Spirit. We got the weapon of the Word. That's our weapon. The Word of our weapon. Hallelujah.
Right.
We got that. So we got to wield it like it's the sword of the Spirit. It's that weapon we got. And when something come against us, right away I go to speaking the Word of God.
Amen.
Right away, because that's that weapon. That's that sword of that Spirit that keeps that devil off us. Keep that devil from destroying us. Keep him from destroying our family. Hallelujah.
Amen, Lord.
We got weapons. Our weapon of warfare is not carnal, but mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. The mighty, mighty word of God. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's
Almighty.
It. That's it. For real.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
That's it. He said, also, all is well. You got it. You got more than enough. I don't care how the bank account looks. You got more than enough because God has already provided.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if we had a penny in a bank, because I've been penniless. I've been penniless. I've been penniless, but I wasn't without my needs taken care of. We had our needs taken care of with no money.
Yes.
And I tell you, we had a penny to rub between us.
Yes,
every one of our needs was taken care of, and we were full of joy, and we were praising the Lord and saying, God, thank you anyhow. Because I knew he was with me. I know he lives in me. I know that I know. Amen?
Amen.
We didn't miss a meal. We didn't look sick. We had shelter. We were with loved ones. We didn't have to go to a shelter. We have the shelter himself, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
He's my shelter.
Mm, yes.
He's my shield.
Yes, he is.
He's my buckler. My God. He can't be better than that. He's the one with the Savior. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we begin to know the Lord. You never worry. You never worry. You don't cry when this happens. We cry.
Right.
We're human. We cry. We grieve.
Amen.
All of that. But we're not alone in it. Amen?
Amen.
Alone. We got God holding us up. He got us wrapped up in his love so tight.
Glory.
Oh, we just wrapped up in the love of Jesus.
Up in his arms.
I know I'm wrapped up. I know y'all wrapped up.
Amen.
I love him so. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, God, for standing on the
Thank
wall.
You.
For
God is good. God
Hallelujah.
Is good.
Thank God for each and every one of you. Please understand, I love y'all so much. I can't love you more than God.
Love
all of the love, I love you with everything in me. I love you.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I really miss y'all.
That's love. You're going to make me start crying in a minute.
I miss y'all.
Mm.
But I knew y'all would make me holy. I said, I thought about it. I said, Apostle and Millie and my friends is here. I've been laying my head on their shoulder. But then I hear the Lord, I'm here.
Yes, you are.
They're with you, the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord with me. I know he's with me. But I love my friend so much and I want to be with them. Hallelujah. We want to be around each other. Glory be to God. But we got the Holy Spirit keeping us tightly knitted together.
Mm-hmm.
And time where we're going to visit more often. We're going to be visiting more often. Matter of fact, a visit is coming up soon. I feel another visit coming soon. And we're going to be visiting each other more. It's the truth. Because there's so much work to be done. The devastation is happening, the more the Lord will have us to go places. Because it is his will that no man perish. He loves the sinner. He loves us no matter how bad we do, no matter how much bad we do. God still loves us. Amen.
Yes.
Merciful God, a loving, kind, merciful, compassionate God. And I thank God to be hooked up to the saints who have the wisdom of God. Wise counsel is so important. So I'm done. Y'all know I talk a lot, but I miss y'all, and when I'm talking to y'all, it makes me feel closer, you know. It makes us feel closer when we're talking to each other. Amen. Even though we're real close in our hearts. But when we're talking to each other, it's like we're right there. It's like y'all right here in this room. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like y'all right here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. for it, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank
God. Thank God.
Thank you so much, Apostle. That was great. We bless the Lord for you, for your family, all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. We honor the God in you. So, Apostle Billy, you gone? Are you still there? I think she's gone. Hallelujah. Well, we are prayer and close out. Tomorrow morning, the line will be back on if the Lord say the same at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are excited about what the Lord is doing right now in this earth realm. So if nobody has a word they want to share, we're going to pray and close out. Father God Almighty, Yeshua, we bless your name and we praise your name. We honor you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask you, Father God, to continue to watch over us while we are absent one from another, and not from your presence. We ask, Father God, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We are praying now, O Father God, that you, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide with us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in someone's ear that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that the works that must be seen in our lives is the very characteristics of who Jesus is. Love, mercy, grace, compassion, kindness. That they must see this. They must.
I love Jesus.